This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now, here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
And good morning, everybody. Good to be back here on Saturday. Got the full show from 8 to 11, taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's our first show without the Groz, because Groz has retired, so we're going to be missing him. Greg Bell will be joining us at 10:30. So it's like, but give us a call, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with JB. Oh, no, we'll get started right now with headlines. Well, Bobby Wagner is officially scratched with his knee injury from the Arizona game. No surprise there because, again, it was an MCL and it's a PCL and all that stuff. So he's going to be out. Brandon Schell is going to be missing the game. They will have Sidney Jones back in the game. You know, no Al Woods because he's on COVID-19. So, again, they're going to be missing some key parts in this game defensively, trying to stop an Arizona Cardinal team right now that's won 11 games but has struggled at home. As far as the latest on Antonio Brown, Antonio continues to be just insane as far as what he's doing. Now he's come back and he says that Tom Brady's just been a phony friend and only wanted him there just because he could help him get to the Super Bowl. And so, you know, this is a guy that allowed him to live last year in 2020 in his house with his family. And of course, we know that, you know, Antonio quit in the middle of the game. He wanted a $1 million incentive that was going to be guaranteed, even though he was 24 catches away with two games left. And then, of course, he says he needed surgery. The team says he doesn't need surgery. It's just an absolute mess. Lots of injuries in the National Football League. Of course, we got two games coming up today, starting with, you know, the Denver game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And so that should be interesting to see because, again, this could be the last game for Vic Fangio, the head coach of the Denver Broncos. I think there could be five coaching changes coming up, you know, this on Black Monday. And so we'll see how that goes. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Mr. Clayton, I thought I was the headline.
Yeah, I know, almost.
It's just a happy new year, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Okay, tired but good.
All right. You're talking about Antonio Brown, yeah. That situation. You know, you get what you pay for. You know that.
That what?
I say you get what you pay for.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's like, here's a guy, he did well last year, he did horrible this year. He's selfish, I think he's got mental problems. I mean, you know, he needs to take care of himself.
Yeah, I think he's bipolar big time, Mr. Clayton. You know, he's got those issues sometimes. He's very happy, smiling on the sideline, and then the next time you see him, he's pissed off.
Right,
and you can't control him. He's very.
I don't think he'll. I can't envision another team signing him in the National Football League. Cannot do it.
You know, I can't envision it. But Mr. Clayton, there are certain people out there that try things. You know, they might think that you can't do it, but they think they can do it.
I'm just saying.
One of the problems is sometimes we ignore behavior for talent.
Right.
And that could be a problem, you know. Yeah, now, him, how old is he right now? Like 32, 33?
I think 33, yeah. 33, 34.
Yeah. If buyer beware, I wouldn't touch him.
I wouldn't touch him.
No. If you see the reaction he had with Tom Brady and Bruce Arians and those boys,
How about sneaking a girlfriend into the hotel the night before the game? I mean, come on. What are you doing?
Leave him alone. Just leave him alone. I let him go off into the sunset. Let him go play in Kansas or somewhere. I leave him alone. Yeah. I wouldn't touch him. He's a rule breaker.
Right.
Yeah. When you think he's acting right, this is what comes up.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, from the situation with the COVID card and all that, I mean, I would just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
They got desperate, though, because they lost. They needed a wide receiver, and they wanted him back. But that's a problem also when he comes back. And he's saying that his ankle is all messed up. He's sending out all these tweets about it. But,
Well, how about the fact that, you know, now it's like, here's Tom Brady, who was the one who pushed for him to come down to Tampa Bay. Talk Bruce Arians into having him come when Bruce really didn't want him to come in. And now he's turned on Tom Brady. You know, he's now taken on his partner, Alex Guerrero. He then comes back and now is saying that, oh, he's a phony friend. It's like, what kind? I mean, a friend got him on the team. What do you need?
Yes. I'd count that off as a loss and just leave him alone. And it's going to be a notice to the rest of the league. That guy is, he just got to let it go.
Yeah.
Got to let it go. Just let him go off into the sunset and move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do with a guy like that. But, Mr. Clayton, you know what? We got some football today. Some pretty intriguing football today, Mr. Clayton. I'm Kansas City, Denver. Vic Fangio might be his last game over there as a Denver Bronco head coach. Kansas City's got a lot to play for. As far as trying to get that number one seed in the AFC, do you think they get it? Do they think they accomplish it?
Yeah, so, I mean, I find that all interesting to see you know, how that'll go because, again, I think that you know, Kansas City has a big edge, particularly, too, knowing how bad the injury situation is in the secondary. Could you imagine playing the Kansas City Chiefs and you don't have cornerbacks Ronald Darby, Patrick Surtain, and then also safety Kareem Jackson? How do you have a chance?
That's not even it. They should forfeit that game at halftime if it gets out of hand.
You know,
for Vic Fangio on that side of the equation, I mean, he had the misfortunes of not having a real good quarterback over there. You know, Denver's had those problems with since John Elway departed and Peyton Manning came there for a little spell. They never had the ability to replace that quarterback.
Right.
That should take notice to a lot of teams. When you want to get rid of your good quarterback, you got to be ready to replace it. The draft this year, I don't think it's that good as far as the quarterback position is coming out.
Agreed.
Out of college.
Agreed.
So, I mean, buyer beware when you think you can go and get your quarterback and find a diamond in the rough in the draft.
No, it's kind of
the draw.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like, but, you know, I thought that the Bridgewater move was adequate, you know, because they at least got somebody who can play. It kept them in the race for some period of time, but then the offense just was terrible.
Yes. Well, you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Dallas Cowboys going to Philadelphia. Mr. Clayton, you look at the Cowboys. Their offense started off, man, I mean, they were on the side. They were averaging, 29 points a game?
Right.
But, you know, lately the run game, a la Ezekiel Elliott, now Pollard, to me, is the better runner right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't get their run game going. I mean, what do you see with this with the Cowboys?
I mean, you know, as good as they've been terrible in the last month. And so offensively, you know, they haven't had consistency. They got Dak Prescott. They've got good receivers. Amari Cooper and Prescott have been not, you know, they're off, whatever reason that is. I have no idea. But still, you know, it's like you're right about the run game. And then, of course, now they have some COVID issues on the offensive line. There's a lot of things right now not going well for the Cowboys. But, again, they're taking on an Eagle team, and we'll see how the Eagles do today. They had to put 12 players on the COVID list. 12.
Wow. That's a lot of players.
Mm-hmm.
That can affect you. That can affect you tremendously, too.
Yeah.
You got to put that many on the COVID list. That can definitely affect you tremendously. But now the Cowboys, are they going to be locked into that fourth seed?
Probably. Yeah. I can't see them getting any better than that. Okay, they'll win this game against Philly, I think.
You think they'll beat Philly?
Yeah, I do.
Their defense is not that bad.
No.
The Cowboys defense.
Although Micah Parsons is going to miss the game with COVID-19.
Oh, well. Oh, geez. You better hope Randy Gregory and those boys can get some pass rush. You know, and the Eagles, their motto is to run the ball. You can stop that run, you can sustain them pretty much. Yeah.
Agreed.
That's something. Well, hey, can you believe it, Mr. Clayton? The Cincinnati Bengals?
Amazing.
Can you believe it? Amazing.
No. Yeah, I mean, that's why it's like you have to think that their coach, Zach Brady's got to win the coach of the year, because nobody expected them to be a playoff team this season. Nobody.
Letting on a playoff team, Mr. Clayton. They won the AFC North.
I know. Go figure that one out.
They went there with a second-year quarterback coming up for ACL injury,
uh-huh.
A rookie wide receiver. The receiving corps has got to be under 25, right?
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, they shored up some free agents, which helped out a lot. Trey Henderson helped out a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
He had, 15 sacks this year, something like that.
Right.
They did a lot of good things. It's the AFC North champions, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Go figure that one out. Unbelievable.
What is going on over there in an awesome King Greg in Baltimore? I can't believe it.
Well, how about the fact, one of the things I worried about with Lamar Jackson is that, mm-hmm. he runs so well, but can he sustain that game without getting injured? Well, this year now, he's missed 26 straight practices, and he's, the team has gone from 8-3 to 8-8, losing 4 in the games that he's missed. And it's like, it's like all of a sudden, he's an injured quarterback.
Well, Mr. Clayton, and you bring up a good point there. You can get away with that
mm-hmm.
RG3, they tried
right,
it with him.
Right.
How long did that last? You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? There's a lot of other quarterbacks you can bring up and say they tried that, and how long does that last?
Right.
You've got to be able to function in a pocket.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, you still can get out and make some plays. This and that, if you're looking at Michael Vick, as he got older, he became more of a pocket passer.
Right.
He started to recognize that I'm going to get hurt out here messing with some of these big guys. So, RG3, he got away with it for a while. I hope he comes back and be healthy. But it is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a quarterback that relies totally on his athleticism, it can cause a problem as far as the propensity of getting hurt. So that's something I think you really need to address. Hopefully get their running game back, get a lot of their players in the offensive line, get that healthy and going again, and maybe they can get back to function the way they are. But mm-hmm. I would try to hold back on him doing as much running as he's accustomed of doing.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's kind of you're playing with a razor's edge right there when you're doing that. When you're allowing him to do all that running out there, now Baker Mayfield, right quick, Cleveland mm-hmm. Browns. What do you think about him, Mr. Clayton?
Baker Mayfield, I think he's average.
Yeah, he's inconsistent.
Right.
He doesn't give you a consistent play as far as the quarterback position is concerned.
Uh-huh.
That could be a problem. That last NFC spot, Mr. Clayton, I'm not going to put my finger on the pulse of it. Saints win, 49ers lose, they're in.
Right.
What do you think?
Could happen.
It could happen. Hey, who's starting the quarterbacking for the 49ers at the Rams?
I think it's going to be Trey Lance. Because they say that Jimmy Garoppolo has a chance, but I can't imagine with that thumb.
No.
I still question it. I mean, it's kind of like all those weeks where you had John Harbaugh kept on saying, oh, yeah, I think that Lamar Jackson might play, and the guy couldn't even move on the field. He was so hurt.
No.
And so it's like in the case of Trey Lance, he's got a bad thumb. Don't play.
Yeah, I don't see it. And you know what? But you know the thing about it, Mr. Clayton? The 49ers got their number. I think they're 6-1 against the Rams in the last seven
right.
games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the problem? How do you like the Rams? They fell from grace like that with all that high-powered offense.
Uh-huh.
Now that Matthew Stafford, Mr. Clayton, I love him as a quarterback, but he can be up and down.
Right, agreed.
Yeah.
Hey, JB, thank you for the phone call.
Mr. Clayton, good to be back. Happy New Year to you, my friend. Get well and get some rest, and we'll talk next time.
Okay, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, John. Good morning to you. Happy New Year to you and to Pat and to your ESPN Cairo 710 family.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
You bet. So, John, a lot has happened in the last 2 weeks since you've been on air for this show. And, I mean, first and foremost, I mean, a titan of humanity, John Madden, passes away.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, Coach, he made football fun for everyone. He was a great ambassador for all things good about football. And, I mean, as a coach, he insisted on three things of his players. Show up on time, pay attention, and play hard. And, you know, as a professional, I've used that credo myself, and it's worked to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I show up on time, paying attention, listen to what people have to say. Play hard, well, I don't play hard, but I work hard. And, you know, I've applied that in everything that I've done, and it's worked out well. So, you know, Madden, he influenced so many things, and he touched a lot of people's lives and multi-generations.
Uh-huh.
Just a titan of humanity, John.
No doubt about it. And, you know, a great guy, great person, a great ambassador for the game, great educator. I mean, he was just absolutely amazing and unbelievable. And, of course, I mean, he had one of the greatest records in NFL history in his 10 years as a head coach, one of the great winning percentages. He just did so well.
Yes, indeed. The best winning percentage of any coach. You know, the Raiders organization has worked with the NFL Hall of Fame, or I should say the Professional mm-hmm. Football Hall of Fame, to bring the Madden Express to Las Vegas for tomorrow's showdown against the Chargers, John.
Oh, nice. I did not know that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to be a great thing for those fans that attend the game to be able to go and check it out. I mean, it's a fully restored Madden coach, you know. It's going to be great for them.
But, you know, here's the amazing thing. Did you know this? One of the stories for the Madden bus is the fact that he never ate on the bus.
Yeah, he always wanted to go out and eat with the people. Always wanted to go out to eateries because he felt like a lot of people, when you go visit them, you know, they want to hang out in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Well, he wanted to hang out with
right.
people eat. And he, you know, he had a good appetite, John.
Oh, yeah. No, well, you could see that in his weight.
Right. And the turducken thing.
Yeah.
So, John, it's playoff football for the resurgent Raiders. And
right.
I mean, I'm happily wrong. I think we talked about how I thought they were going to be at 8-19 for the 2021 season. But, well, we at least now know they're going to have a winning record. And that's pretty amazing, John. Pretty amazing.
I'm stunned.
I mean, I am too. I mean, I thought that once they started taking a dive, that history would repeat itself, as
mm-hmm.
it had done the last two seasons. And I'm happy to report that my son, who's now 16 and also a Raider fan, is going to finally see his team in the playoffs, hopefully.
Yeah.
They're playing meaningful football in January, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it's going to be great. And, you know, and all the NFL fans know, hey, flex that game to Sunday night because everyone's going to want to see that game. Who wins gets in, and that's going to be great. It's like playoff football, John.
Yeah, it really is. And then, you know, the Chargers are a good team. They've got some issues, but still it's good. So what's your thoughts on the head coaching thing?
Well, okay, I think we have to really concentrate first on trying to win this
game. Yeah, agreed.
And then see how what happens in the playoffs. But I think that I like Bisaccia a lot. I know I'm in the minority there. He reminds me very much of Tom Flores, very even-keeled,
mm-hmm.
very mellow, probably good for the beat and pulse of that team and that organization. And so I think that I am going out on a limb here, but I think he's got the inside track. He's really righted that ship. This team has gone through a lot of trauma. I don't think that there's been a team that's had to go through as much trauma as they have had to go through. And Derek Carr has done a great job trying to man the ship as well, even though he's taken a dive in certain games.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really come on strong the latter part of the season. So that's a really good combo to have going forward. But I know there's talk also of Jim Harbaugh. The Raiders love history. They love, and he has professional football coaching experience, obviously. You know, the first franchise to hire him as a coach was the Oakland Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
He was the quarterback's coach, I think, from 2002 to 2003. So there is that history there, which is so important to that franchise. But I don't know, John. I don't know. I think they're going to have to make a splash if they don't keep Bisaccia, because it's Las Vegas, John.
Yeah, that's why I think Harbaugh does have a chance, because again, it's Mark Davis. You know, Mark is not going to go through some kind of long search or anything like that. And he's like, all he has to do is, you know, go to Harbaugh, make him an offer, see if it works.
And I don't think I'd have a problem with that, so long as they retain Gus Bradley. And I know that the Seahawks folks are not going to want to hear about that, because they're thinking maybe they could replace their DC here with the Seahawks. But there's a lot of talk about keeping Gus and his positivity.
Mm-hmm.
And he's another great guy, great coach. You can see why the players really react.
Yeah, yeah.
The downside is this game coming up tomorrow. You know, he's going to play his cover three. And that's going to open up lanes for Justin Herbert, and he is lethal. He is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and then the Chargers—they have their full slot of five defensive backs for the first time since the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
they've never dealt with with all those first teamers, and they're going to have that now. So it's going to be a battle, John. It's going to be a battle.
No, it should be a real good one. So that should be
indeed
real fun to watch. I mean, you know, we got week 18, some key games today, a lot of key games tomorrow. So it should be fascinating. And then again, we'll see how the Raiders can do.
Indeed. And John, keep an eye on what's going on with COVID and the Chiefs and the Broncos, because they're playing in Mile High.
Right.
And respiratory issues have always been an issue because they play in Mile High. But with COVID, that's going to be an interesting thing for all NFL fans to watch.
Right, agreed. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jim, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, John, take care.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Tara in Mercer Island. Hey, Tara.
Hi, Mr. Clayton. How are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you. I've been looking at the salary cap space on overthecap.com, and I'm a little bit confused of exactly how much room the Seahawks have. What's the difference between cap space and effective cap space? And based on that number, what moves do you see the Seahawks making?
Well, one of the things on over the cap, which is an oversight, is that they cut off the 2001 cap, okay? I mean, you don't see that on over the cap. And so because of that, there's $13 million that they have for carryover. So, I mean, you look at over the cap and it says they're like at $57, $56 million, but they actually have another $13. So they're close to $70 million of cap room.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah,
so
it is.
They could really spend a lot in free agency.
Yeah, because again, it's like if you don't like sometimes what they have in over the cap, which is really good, then you go to Sportrack. And Sportrack, you know, they have a lot of details too.
What moves do you see the Seahawks making? I've loved them to sign Ryan Jensen. Devontae Adams, I think, will be hard because Aaron Rodgers really wants him.
Yeah, well, they've got to pay certainly DK Metcalf. So getting Devontae Adams doesn't work.
Yeah. And what about Chandler Jones? He's currently at 18 right now, but I really think they're lacking that pass rush, and you've seen that in the secondary end kind of come off
in
the linebacker.
Yeah, but we've watched this with John Snyder. John doesn't like to overpay for a pass rusher. And, like, for example, we saw that with Jadeveon Clowney. There was a certain number he was going to go to, and that was going to be it. And so to pay Chandler Jones, who's going to make over $20-25 million bucks, I can't imagine that.
And I'm curious, Bobby mentioned that how much of a businessman he is. What do you think he will do to maintain a Seahawks? Because, like you, I think it's the stupidest topic of Bobby and Russell leaving, and I don't think they can do that because that's their identity of their team, and it can be for a couple more years.
Right. So I'd say right now $13, $14 million as opposed to the $17 and $18 that he's making right now. So, you know, obviously you have to pay him and you have to pay him well. And you look at, you know, again, he's older, but he's still good. And so I say 12 or 13. How does that sound?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Do you see Russell Wilson restructuring his contract?
No, absolutely not. Why should he? I mean, they've got cap room. They got $70 million, close to $70 million of cap room. Why does he have to restructure? Just play out the final 2 years and then get work on a contract extension.
Right. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, Tara, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning.
Happy New Year, you and Pat.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Is Pat feeling a lot better than she did last week?
She sure did. She's back home from the hospital, so that's good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, John, I want to ask you something about the Steelers. Did you happen to see their last game when they played Cleveland?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a very emotional game for Ben after the game?
Oh, no doubt about it. Huge.
I liked the part when they showed him walking through the tunnel with his wife and three kids.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of teared me up because he knew the end was near, and he had tears in his eyes, and it was just a sad moment for me.
Yeah, because, again, I mean, 18 years with the team. He's one of six players in NFL history that have been with the same team that long without going to another team, which is pretty remarkable when you think about it. But what a great career. And I know he's taken a lot of criticism in the last year or two, but I think that, I mean, the fact that he still has this team eligible to maybe make the playoffs doesn't look great. I think it's just a testament to him.
Yeah. Well, I really like what he did for the city of Pittsburgh. He said that Pittsburgh will always be his home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty glad to see him say that. Hey, John, I want to ask you something about Antonio Brown.
Ugh.
Isn't he a knucklehead?
Total.
I know he needs help, but he's going about it. It seemed like his agent would kind of talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, it's like sometimes you talk about you blame the agent for something. Just blame the player.
Yeah.
I mean, Antonio Brown's been the jerk, not the agent.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I know, this is not going to end well for him.
No.
It's going to end very bad.
And it's already ended pretty bad, I think, because I can't envision another team going after him. I mean, look what he did all wrong. I mean, first off, you know, it's like, you know, he could talk about his ankle and how his ankle needed surgery and all that crap. But in the end, what the reality was is that the ankle is just sore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted more money. I mean, it's like, here's a guy who missed 10 games. He cheated on his vaccination card, was suspended 3 games, missed 10 games this year, was 24 catches away from getting a million-dollar-plus incentive, and then he comes back a couple nights before the game and says, I want a million-dollar guarantee on the incentive.
Yeah.
And they said no, and then he got upset.
Yeah.
And then, of course, then he starts holding out with the idea of playing with the ankle and all that stuff. I mean, and then he lies like crazy. Probably went to a doctor that you know, says that he's got an injury that's worse than it is. Hey, he brings a girlfriend into the hotel. I mean, can it get any? He rips Tom Brady. Now says he's a phony friend after Tom Brady took him into his house.
Unbelievable. Hey, John, did you know John Madden personally?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any stories or something you could say?
Well, because, again, I go back into the 70s and 72 with the Immaculate Reception and all through the 70s with that Steeler-Raider rivalry. And so it's like, you know, I go through all the press conferences that Madden had and all the, you know, the visits we've had with him. I mean, he's just sensational. I mean, one of my favorite stories is that, you know, he flew into Pittsburgh for a playoff game and they stayed at the Hilton. Okay, which is right downtown. And so we had a press conference over in the Hilton, and then Madden talked about how upset he was because he watched some scary movie. I don't know if it was Dawn of the Dead or something like that, and it really affected him. And it's like, are you kidding me? Are you going to hear that from Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I love Madden. He was a super guy.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Okay, John, you take care. Have a good weekend.
Okay, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Irish Mankey. Irish Mankey, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Clayton.
Are you feeling better?
Oh, I'm in the game now, Mr. Clayton.
That's
yes,
great.
Sir. I hope you are, too.
Yep, doing well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We usually get this craziness.
Oh, I know.
That time of the year, it seems, periodically. This one seemed a little tougher. Maybe I'm just getting a little older. I don't know.
Maybe it was, but again, this was a tough one.
Mr. Clayton, let's move on from the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, by the way, did you notice that they lost?
I know, by a lousy 2 points, no less.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Clayton, but anyway, bigger, better things to talk about real quick here, and that is... arguably the greatest defensive lineman ever to play at Notre Dame University, Ross Browner, passed away.
Yeah.
And at 67, Mr. Clayton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sad.
Probably one of the most decorated defensive linemen, for sure, at Notre Dame, but in college football. This guy was just incredible.
Yeah, it really was. He was a great player.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. I mean, All-American consensus, too, junior and senior. He won the Maxwell Award. He won the Lombardi Award. He was the only guy to have to win twice the UPI Lineman of the Year Award ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just it goes on and on and on, this guy.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
And his pros... He was a killer.
Yeah.
He still holds the record, I think, for a defensive lineman, most tackles in a Super Bowl against the 49ers, and it just goes on and on. What a loss. What a loss. A great man, but just so young.
Yeah, agreed. Sad.
Yeah, so, Mr. Clayton.
Yeah.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening with... the Seahawks. Now, you kind of had some talk about it. Are they going to take, with that cap, are they? Is it true, or did I hear something about a lot of the swing nowadays by NFL franchises is they're going for the big linemen and the tight ends and gearing up to start doing smash-mouth football again?
Yeah, well, I think there's more of a smash-mouth mentality. They did a great job of getting Gerald Everett on a one-year deal. They need to re-sign him.
Yeah. Is that the concern of Wilson? Is that the Seahawks line just hasn't been as good as it could be or should be? Or
I thought the line did better this year.
Was it? Okay. But how many times was he on his backside this year, Mr. Clayton?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the sack total, but...
wasn't good, was it?
No, not great, no.
Yeah, so, it really is, the linemen are the heart and soul of football, Mr. Clayton.
Uh-huh. Defense, I mean, you win the battle at the line of scrimmage a lot of times, along with the quarterback.
Well, I know you're going to go with the quarterback thing, but... if you don't, Madden was a lineman.
Uh-huh.
They're just a funny breed.
But a different age. I mean, Madden was a lineman, but we're talking back in the 60s.
Oh, I know. We're not so concerned with that. I'm just saying the position is where it's at, and it seems to be trending that way again. Because, it seems to me if I'm an owner – and I'm paying a couple hundred million for a quarterback, I better protect him, huh?
Good idea, yeah.
Isn't that a good idea?
I think so, yeah.
Or have some good Lloyd's of London insurance to get your money back when the quarterback gets whacked up.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Mr. Clayton, big, big game on Monday. You got any thoughts on that?
I mean, how do you hold against Alabama? Now, Georgia's a great team. And fortunately, these are the best two teams. They were supposed to be the best two teams all year long.
Right.
And so now the chance to have a meet, Alabama won the last game, wouldn't count out Georgia. I think it's just going to be a great football game.
Round two, right?
Yeah, round two.
Round two. of the NFL franchises.
Mm-hmm.
The farm clubs, I should say.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, for Georgia, their front seven has seven guys that very well could be in the NFL next year.
Oh, well, they will be. What is it? I think they held their opponents to 10 points.
Yeah.
As an average.
Uh-huh.
I think that's off the charts, Mr. Clayton.
No doubt.
No
Agreed.
Kidding. Well, I hope you and Mrs. Clayton, you're going to take your sabbatical down into California this year?
No, I mean, I might go down myself.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's hard to have Pat travel because of,
right.
I can't find a hospital bed and, you know, all those different things that she's going to need on any kind of a trip. But, it's like, I've not had a vacation now in like 5-6 years, and I need to at least take a couple of days.
It's about time, Mr. Clayton.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
I mean, you know, don't run yourself. You're no good to your sweetheart if you're running to the ground.
I know.
You know, you need to get training shape, Mr. Clayton.
That's
training
true.
Shape.
Good. That's
so
good
do you
point.
Go, is it Laguna Beach you like to go to? Or?
No, like go to down near right now near Venice and all those stuff.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
With all those groovy people, Mr. Clayton.
Exactly.
Good job.
All right.
Well, have a great day.
Okay.
And go Irish, Mr. Clayton.
There you go, Irish. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rick in Phoenix. Hey, Rick.
Hello, John, live from Phoenix. I'm a Seattle guy, but I'm down here for the game and getting a little sunshine, so I told the producer I am from Phoenix this week. So,
okay.
What the heck? But thanks for taking my call, and I've called you a couple times about my survivor pool, and I am still alive, and it will end this week.
What did you do last week to keep yourself going?
It was last week I had New England, so mm-hmm. but it was a week because we were below a threshold to where we only had to pick one team. But this week, because we were above 10 people left, we have to pick two picks.
Okay.
So I've got Buffalo. I feel pretty good about
feel good
that
about
one.
That, yeah.
And then I have Tampa Bay. I was able to, move it around this year, and I kept some good teams for the end, and I have Tampa Bay on the flip side. Two things with them, a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
Barrett's out with COVID, I saw. Rashad Robinson.
JPP's out.
JPP's out. Yeah, I mean, they're.
Ronald Jones is out, so they're down to their third string running back.
Yeah, I know. And Brucey Bruce, your buddy Brucey Bruce, Arians, said Monday that they will play to win because they do want a chance at the number two seed. And then he also said yesterday that he would really like to play hard to get that 13th win, which would be a franchise record and stuff. So I feel like whoever they put on the field is going to play to win, including Tom Brady, which is never a bad thing. And, I mean, my other choices are, Washington football team, New Orleans, kind of some second tier game. So I'd like to go with Tampa Bay, but just seeing if you have any big red warning flags to put up with those
I'm
guys.
Not sold on Washington. Yeah, it's like that to me is a little shaky. So I'd stay away from that. New Orleans, obviously, certainly not good. I mean, what about Indianapolis?
I've already used them.
Oh, okay. Got them.
Yeah, you can only use the same team once. And so
okay,
on.
Got it.
And everybody else has. A lot of people have Tennessee left.
Mm-hmm.
About 13 of the 20 left have Tennessee, so they'll use Tennessee plus, a Washington
or
Baltimore or somebody like that. I'm just kind of down to where I've only got a few choices, so I might as well go with the Super Bowl champs. And I think I was just trying to get your opinion, see if there was a some huge red flag. Because
the only red flag for Tampa is all the injuries.
Yeah. Their offensive line seems to be in one piece.
Yeah, agreed.
They've got three Pro Bowlers on there, and that gives me some confidence that they can protect Tommy Boy and, maybe whoever is going to be running the ball, they can open some holes for. So, I don't know. I it's just a tough time. You get this far, and you're just down to only a few teams you really have to use.
But you've done well. You're all of a sudden in week 18, and you survived.
Well, we'll give it a try. If I happen to collect some dough, I will ask your producer what a charity you'd like to have a little something.
I appreciate that.
You've helped me, and apologies to Commando, Commando Mike.
Yeah.
For I know he doesn't like people calling in about bets, but we've had a little familiarity with this.
Yeah.
So I appreciate all your help, and maybe I'll call you next Saturday after this big Sunday of a Tampa Bay and Buffalo win.
Okay, Rick. Hey, thank you.
866-979-ESPN
206-421-ESPN. Let's go to David in Edmonds. Hey, David.
Oh, hi. What are the chances of the Seahawks playing on Monday Night Football next season?
Not as good as it is this year. I mean, I'm sure they'll make a game or two, but, because, again, they still have Russell Wilson. They still have a good fan base and everything else. But it's like I can't imagine, you know, coming off a 10-loss season that they're going to get 5 primetime games.
When will schedule be out? In April?
April, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.